Welcome back to Out of the Hourglass. I'm your podcast host, Molly Nolan, and today I am joined by Andrew Amrine. Andrew is a senior business coach here at NCG, as well as our director of finance. And I asked him to join us today to talk about the Advanced Financial Management Workshop that we have upcoming on our workshop schedule towards the end of April, the beginning of May. Now, we hold a lot of workshops for our clients and their employees focusing on development, and this is one of those core sectors. This particular workshop looks at cost of growth, advanced planning in the cash conversion cycle, advanced KPIs, stockpiling cash, job costing and benchmarking, really looking at the balance sheet that's a part of the Summit Workbook, not just the P&L. If this is something that you're interested in, we encourage you to check out your Summit Weekly or talk to a coach to sign up. But today we go a little bit further into a couple of these topics just to kind of give some value points to make sure that even if you're not ready for this workshop, that you are beginning to think about areas to work on, to improve, to implement in your own financial accounting. Enjoy the conversation.
This episode is brought to you by Boolean, a gold-level Grand Summit sponsor and a supporting partner of the Summit member group. At Boolean Review, they strive to offer five-star service as you collect five-star reviews. They've helped many Summit members double, triple, and quadruple their reviews, including Lancaster Painting, Webfoot Painting, John Deck Painting, Select Painting, and more. Want to learn more? Reach out on BooleanReview.com. You can also text the founders, Chris and Natalie Kiefer, to find out if they would be a good fit for your growing business. Text the owners at 208-659-0008.
Andrew Amrine, welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Molly.
How are we?
Oh, I'm in my, is this my favorite room? I'm going to offend my family if I say this is my favorite room. My favorite room is my house.
But your favorite room at the office is in the studio.
This room is more favorited than my own office. I love this.
So I love
studio.
This room too, with the exception of this like really strong overhead lighting. I realize that it's not doing me a favor.
We need to get some some yellow filters.
My like pale skin is like radiating in this room.
Pale. No.
You look wonderful. It is.
Even in the pale light, you look wonderful.
Thank you. The camera might lie about that. However, let's digress. The room is great, exception of the lighting. But no, really, you know, welcome back. It's good to have you here. We were just talking about when was the last time you were in the room, and I think you were talking about PFP and the team member contract, which was a great episode.
Yes.
We've got some good feedback on that one.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I've had two or three people implemented, have a conversation with their team. They had at their operations meeting, they rolled it out by departments, and it caused some really good conversations. Some people didn't want to sign it.
Interesting. We could just totally digress and go into that conversation on today's podcast.
I think it's worth to cycle back real quick.
Sure.
So, feedback on it. You know, it's like pay for performance. This is just another way for you not to pay me what I'm already owed. And this is just another document for you to sign so you can fire me whenever you want. So people are coming to work with influences. And I'll be a little vulnerable. I grew up with some of those influences, so I'm empathetic. Mm-hmm. Always let your boss win at golf, the boss. You know, I had some of those influences. Now Brian is horrible at golf, so
sure is.
I would have to tell
poor Brian that comes up far too often on this podcast than it should. By my own doing,
I had to tell my dad like I would have to not play in order for Brian to beat me. Like that's not I can't do that, but he was,
that's everything in you,
a generational thing. So people are, so anyway, I grew up with some of those influences. I've had to tackle them, conflict that we have around the office on the management team. Mm-hmm. When we're having those conflicts, I have voices in my head that are, I have to fight. And so people are bringing those things. Shocking. You hired a carpenter and a real person showed up. That's something Tom Foster likes to say. Like you hired
That's a great line.
You hired a sales rep and a real person showed up. So we've uncovered some things and there were twofold. I thought, okay, we need to have some conversations with that person and help them. We need to give them some training, some talking, some, you know, put your arm around him and say, hey, listen, we're, you know, this is, you're going to have a different experience here. And then at the same time, it was litmus test of the culture. And there's some work to be done. And the work on your culture never stops. There's always new people, a person shows up, new people are showing up and they're bringing everything with them.
It's funny you say that because I just recorded a podcast yesterday that will be coming out next week from this episode about a chapter in the management training series that you and Jim Bradley are doing.
Awesome.
And we talked about the high performing team and we hit briefly on when a new team member joins your team, you have a new team.
Yep.
That team,
every time
that team looks different and the team member contract came up and what's the expectations of how we operate in a high performing team and make sure that they are game to do that. Cause if they're not, let's figure that out now.
Dude, we've had a great time doing the management training. It's been six months.
He spoke very highly of it.
Jim's kills it.
Yeah.
It's been great to partner with him and we've got 12 managers that I think I'm confident they would say they're better managers now.
Well, it's been a really good pilot as well, right? You've gotten good feedback on, you know, how you might change it going forward. So that's a good little teaser for next week.
Every year. I'm hoping we can do it every winter. We can do 6 months. So it's two semesters, 3 months, and then 3 months on topics. It's fun.
Nice.
So what are we talking about today?
We are talking about the advanced financial management course that you are having in April. That's coming up in a couple of weeks here. So we're recording this actually the week before the Grand Summit. So quick check-in. How are you showing up today as a result of that?
There are other things going on besides the Grand Summit. Well, I think I'm showing up great. How are you showing up today?
You know, it's the Friday before. I'm doing all right.
You got so much work. The people listening, you cannot understand how much work Molly and her team and Maureen and Jen and everybody does for this Grand Summit. For every hour that you see, there's like 100 hours of prep. You guys kill it. I mean, the whole thing, it's going to go great because of all the preparation you've done.
I think it will. And by the time this comes out, it will have happened. So I hope that future self says good job. But no, I mean, in reality, one of the things I've really learned, having a good team is everything. And I feel like we have that here. But two, my past self, I'm always grateful for my past self when I'm doing these programs because of like the work that I put into something now, I will benefit from next year because I've done it properly and it's about repurposing it or just reform. There's no, like I've created the framework for this program in a lot of senses. And it's just a matter of, so we have that and how do I make it better for the next year? So just even the way how we organize things from the NCG travel to the print.
Yeah.
Like what needs to go to print? What do we print here? What do we print at Sir Speedy?
I gotta pause you real quick because Molly just went total Confucius. On that, I'm proud of my past self. Like that's Molly Confucianism. Like act in such a way that you are proud of your past.
I've been like grateful. Like
grateful.
Even, I'll even say certain emails that I send out that have structure to them. I'm like, I don't have to recreate this email. Let me throw in like the new information, update it a little bit. But half the battle sometimes is getting started. Right.
Molly, you had taught me something just now. Just I had to.
Well, one other thing,
Molly Confucianism.
I've been thinking in this way because also, it's like what will your future self need? And I was joking with Brian a lot. We were traveling to the PCA, and he just struggled with the travel. He was losing things left and right. We have a lot going on, and so I understand. But like he would put something somewhere, and I would be like, "Will your future self know that that's there, or you're gonna forget it?" So let's help your future self.
I'm going to tell my kids that. Behave in such a way that your future self.
And it was funny. It became a little bit of an inside joke on the trip. But I was like, if you put your AirPods in the center console of that rental car, those will not make it home. So why don't we, it's easy to stick them in there now. Let's just stick them in the backpack while we're here.
I mean, we've totally digressed on this episode, but you know.
Well, I got to capture the moment though. Behave in such a way that you are grateful for your past self.
Yeah. The work and the thought that you did then is helping you now.
That's like poster worthy.
Yeah. I'm happy to have my name on a poster.
We could end the podcast now.
I don't request a lot of things. I don't need my name on a lot of lights, but I'll go on a poster. All right, let's jump into actually why we are here today. And that's, we did this a couple months ago in December where mm-hmm. we talked about an upcoming workshop that we're mm-hmm. having for, that we offer to our clients. That was job site leadership. Colin and I did an episode on that. And it resonated really well because one, it gave people a better sense as to what they're going to expect on the work, you know, in the workshop, but also we were able to provide a little bit of value as to the content in which we cover. Mm-hmm. So I want to do that here with you today and talking about the advanced financial management course that you're doing in end of April, early May. We already have about 7 companies signed up for it, which is great. So it's about
awesome.
It's about half full by the time this goes out, or maybe more. We mm-hmm. do cap this workshop because it's pretty intensive. There's a lot that goes on.
There's work.
There's work yeah. involved. And so we want to make yeah. sure that we have the right resources to provide to the attendees. But if you're not even in a place now to participate in that, we want you to start thinking about just the topics itself, because no matter what, they're going to resonate with you and your company. So let's dive in just to give me a reason as to why is this workshop so important, not only to you sure. to be facilitating, but why do you think it's important for attendees to show up?
Sure. So the balance sheet, the mm-hmm. other report that we're constantly trying to look at, we spend a lot of time talking about the P&L and the profit and where the money is going, but then the money has to end somewhere and it ends on the balance sheet. And so where is it all? So my P&L says I made a great profit, or my accountant comes to me and says, here's your $50,000 tax bill. Well, where is it? I don't have 50,000. Like, where'd it go? Where does all this money go?
Yeah.
The genesis of it is that, and explaining the balance sheet and really, really taking your company and your team to the next level, you can do that understanding the balance sheet.
So this is going next level beyond an understanding of the P&L. This is, you're like, mm-hmm. you're really tearing things apart here.
Yeah. You know, if you're spending time thinking about the plan, you're not spending time thinking about what you're doing in the moment. So an added part of that plan is having a balance sheet plan, knowing where our cash is going to go. And then working that plan, and so not having to guess, well, how much cash are we going to have at the end of the year, at the end of the quarter? What months are going to be cash tight? Which months are going to be cash rich? Should I finance? Should I buy? Should I spend money now? Should I save money now? How am I going to set aside reserves? How do I manage my line of credit so that it doesn't get overspent or it only gets spent on certain things? The worst possible scenario, maybe another genesis of this boot camp, is people have a line of credit, they take money, they have one checking account, and then all of a sudden it's gone because it got spent on everything.
Right.
So here's a point of value. Read profit first. I wish I'd written it. Not a new idea. He just lays it out really well. Mm-hmm. And have multiple accounts and then select one account for your line of credit and only use your line of credit in that account for labor and materials. Only use your line of credit for labor if you really want to be strict.
Yeah.
You could make the case that marketing has a return as well. So you could spend money on marketing and then pay it back. But the key is don't spend your line of credit on everything. Have separate bank accounts and then specifically select what you're going to spend
in each from each account.
The line of credit on, yeah.
Interesting. Yep. Interesting. So
all that's balance sheet. That's manage yeah. having multiple accounts. We desire to keep things simple, but there is some complexity that's good as you grow, keeping it all in your head. I mean, that's our central theme is get it out of your head yeah. so you can share it. And so it's the checking account thing is just like grandmom's envelopes. I mean, your grandmom
yeah.
probably told you about, you know, have your envelopes and put money in each envelope. Well, now you're just doing it in checking accounts.
Right.
So that's all part of the balance sheet, managing your balance sheet.
So for this particular workshop, I mean, it's geared towards a certain audience level because of the complexities of it that we go into a little bit. Mm-hmm.
accounting managers, controllers, business owners. Is that the kind of the right audience for this?
Correct.
Okay.
I think their operations and accounting are two wings of the same bird. So I think accounting or operations managers really want to get to hone their financial skills. Yes. But certainly the target audience here is accounting and financial managers, owners, to be able to take this back and implement it in their company. So we're going to talk about mechanics and some technicals, but we're also going to talk about ways to share this with your company, visuals, tracking things. So for example, another, I think, a valuable thing here for the podcast is we're going to talk a lot about the cash conversion cycle, how cash makes its way around in the organization. So the cash conversion cycle is inventory or work in progress. You start spending money the day you start on the job site. So you have a work in progress period plus the receivables period. So if you're if you're 2 weeks between invoices to your property manager or the general contractor, then you've got a 15-day work in progress period. Then you got another 90 days waiting to get paid. So that's a total of 105 days that you're without your money. Now what are you doing to not pay your payables? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Are you using credit cards or using accounts? Are you using job accounts? So, you know, for this particular job, the vendor is holding that. How are you managing that period to shrink the amount of time that you're without your cash? So that's called working capital. My money is not sitting in my checking account. It's out working in the form of materials sitting on a job site. So just-in-time materials, big lean system, Six Sigma strategy is just-in-time materials. What am I buying everything up front, or am I buying it in phases so I can control my payables? And all of that shrinks the amount of time that you're without your money. We do a lot of these things instinctively as we figure it out.
Yeah.
But putting it on paper and then putting it in a very simple chart to show your team and talk about it drives improvement.
Well, it goes back to just like that communication and transparency factor, right? The more you know, the more your team can be aware of like the little pieces that add up to the larger picture. It's huge.
I never thought what I do affected the other departments so much. I never thought what I do really has such a big effect. I just didn't.
Well, that's what
people underestimate their impact. They think, well, you know, I do what I do, and I'm not real sure, you know, the impact it makes. And
again, that's preview for next week's episode, talking about high performing teams. There's an understanding of how you impact everybody else in the business.
So managing that growth is going to be a big part. What's going to happen to working capital? There are three main places that profit goes, that disappears to. One is distributions, so that comes out of profit. One is debt, so the figment of our government's imagination is depreciation. So we get to depreciate things, but a lot of times we've taken full depreciation on something, so we still have this loan to pay, but we've already depreciated it because my accountant said, take the accelerated depreciation, it'll help you, and it maybe help me in the short term, but it's hurting me in the long term. So distributions, paying off debt, and then working capital. So the business itself sucks up cash. If you go, let's take cars, for example.
Yeah.
If you build a car, your buddy owns a gas station, so you build your custom car, Molly's special car, you put it at your friend's gas station, which actually my dad did. He would buy cars, and then if he needed a new one, his friend would put it there, and someone, you know, he'd sell his used car on the thing. So that's why I always use that story. So, and you sell it, and then you go buy another one, but that's not how we do things in business. You don't build one car at a time. You build three cars at a time.
Right.
So maybe when people started, they were building one house at a time, and then you go to three houses, and then you go to 30 houses. Well, that eats up money.
So much cash.
Yeah, that's so just the growth will eat up hundreds of thousands of dollars stuck in your business. What we can do, so we instinctively, we know that, but we can, I want to teach people how to measure it and then how to plan for it. So in other words, we want to buy a building, or we want to redo our fleet. We've got a bunch of trucks to buy, or we want to remodel or something. We want to do something. Okay. You've got the profit for it, but subtract $200,000 from your profit, because that's going to get eaten up by growth. So here's the real money you have available to you. And so projects, they're going to take longer to begin with. I mean, right. We're looking for a building, or we're building a building, and yeah, we're going slow. We're trying to pay for it out of pocket. That happens all the time. But it always takes twice as long as people think, because they're not taking into account the working capital that's being eaten up by the business, by growth itself.
That's actually, so there's a lot of topics that are covered in the workshop. That cost mm-hmm. of growth is one that you like to dive into. That was actually one I was going to ask you about, mm-hmm. because a lot of our companies are growth oriented. Not mm-hmm. everybody, but there's a majority that are on a scale that, or mm-hmm. want some, and this is predictable growth, being able to.
Yeah. Whether you want the cost organic growth,
yep.
fast growth, somewhere in the middle, you've got to know where your growth is going to eat your cash. And even at different points in the year, it's going to be different based on the type of work you're doing, where you are. If you're above the 38th parallel, you're going to have a seasonal business. So we've got to take that into account. So being able to plan out how much cash I'm going to need, and then when I'm actually going to start getting it, we can anticipate. You need to call the bank now and get a line of credit increase. We know 6 months ahead of time, or a year ahead of time, that this line of credit you have isn't going to be enough. Mm-hmm. And we can measure that. And so that's part of the work. So you were saying we maintain a size for this boot camp because there's a project.
Right.
And that project is everybody's going to leave with a 12-month balance sheet projection. And so we will know at the end of the boot camp, so April, how much cash we're going to have in December. And it's really cool to then track that plan and where are we against it, and so that all that happens in the financial spreadsheet, the tool that we use.
Of all the topics that you cover in this workshop, is that your favorite?
Oh, I love the balance sheet. Yeah,
yeah.
It's once you start learning it, I think that growth. But when I'm meeting with our customers and reviewing their financials with them, yeah, I love going to the balance sheet. Go to the balance sheet projection tab, and every year it's projecting the math, the formulas that are in the spreadsheet are projecting the cash if you make a balance sheet budget. And yeah, I like it.
Well,
that's my favorite.
Well, I think it's got to be one of your favorite, is because it's probably the most, it's the least understood of mm-hmm. of the workbook of financials. I mean, the P&L is one thing.
Very straightforward. This is not super straightforward.
Yeah. So that's like a really good, great teachable moment. And like the hope mm-hmm. is that you can like see the light bulb click, because then they're able to put two and two together, see the bigger picture of how the business is actually functioning. Right.
Yes. It's sometimes a little hard to believe that you can project that far out.
Yeah.
And the closer you get, the more precise that number will become, but it's true. If you plug in the variables, it's just an algorithm. It's a formula. If this, then here's how much cash we'll have.
Mad Excel scientist. Yeah. That's what we call that. So another topic, I mean, obviously, so we've hit cash conversion cycle. We've hit, cost of growth, being able to predict cash flow a little bit. You have a practical decision making, like what should the P&L be telling me topic on here. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about that. What does that component look like?
Sure. So I think for that, I'll talk about this. So I spent probably 15 years looking at different trades with different gross profits, different models. But I thought to myself, there's got to be a measure. We're all using people to produce a service. So there's got to be one number that connects them all. And so Steve Talkington and I worked on this together. He experimented with some things, and it was what we call the labor efficiency ratio that Steve really worked hard on. We've adapted it. So it comes from the book Scaling Up by Vern Harnish. Great mm-hmm. book. So I adapted it a little bit for trades, the formula, to make it a little more applicable to us. But now the if regardless of what your gross profit is, efficiency ratios, shockingly, across every trade are all coming out the same. So revenue.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So revenue minus materials and subcontractors. So you take a contribution margin. So you have revenue minus the direct costs. So in other words, the customer could have paid for those things outright. They could have written a check to the lumberyard. And so if they only paid you revenue minus the materials and subs, take that number divided by labor. And our benchmark is 2.1 or better. The only variable, and that's been true across many, many trades. The only exception are the trades that have their jobs are less than a day. So the gutter companies, the plumbers, flooring is
dryer
also.
Dryer vent cleaner.
Right, dryer vent cleaner, right. There's a dispatch. The reason I think that's the case is because there's a dispatch nature to it. And so that benchmark is around 3. So what should your P&L be telling you? It should be telling you, is your model working and using different ratios? And then am I living within my means? So the
that's such a big one.
Cost of goods sold is that's our business model. We put a dollar into the machine and it spits out 30 cents. And that's efficient. We're making sure the machine is efficient. Overhead is the grease that runs the machine. Am I overgreasing? Am I undergreasing? Am I using the right kind of grease?
Right.
Is it getting all, you know, so it's that's the living
I've
within
never
your means.
I've looked at it. Or that analogy is new to me. But
isn't that fun?
It's hidden. It's tracks.
Getting there.
Yeah.
Getting there. So we take that from the P&L, and then we transfer it to the balance sheet. And so we'll cover that in the first session. Is we'll hit that P&L stuff, and then we'll convert it over. Here's how this affects your balance sheet. Here's what your cash is going to look like. That big project you want to take on, we can project how it's going to affect your cash. We can work on that. So then we're going to focus on learning those three main things: work in progress, receivables, and payables, to manage your cash balance.
I love it. I'm sure that there are accounting managers listening to this who like their eyes are.
I hope so.
Are brightening up. I mean, I hope so. Why would you not want to understand these things about your business, right?
I hope I haven't lost anybody, but owners too. These struggles, the pain that we deal with,
you've not lost me quite yet.
All right, good.
Financials are not my area of expertise. So, but I'm around you enough to, the words are all familiar. I can pretend like I know what you're talking about. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you know more.
I know more than I think I know sometimes. More so just from having these conversations, right?
So the other thing I'll add, so we some advanced metrics from the P&L, we transfer that to the balance sheet, and then we're also going to talk about job costing. And I want to bring this up because I'm super excited about bringing Jim Bradley has brought lean, more formal lean to us. I think a lot of it we've done, he's really helping us chisel it and hone it and polish it. And so we've added some Lean Six Sigma inspired charts and visuals that people can be adding to their job costing to really, really hone in on the type of work, but also showing things to your people that can get them engaged. So these are charts that you can share with your people. Here are the results of our jobs and our job costing. Here's what's going well. Here's what's not going well. Let's talk about it. And that's all very Lean Six Sigma inspired. So I'm looking forward to going over that.
I love it. So you're hitting a lot over these four sessions.
It's a lot. It is. Yeah. It's a lot.
So with that in mind, for those folks who are either already showing up, who are registered for this, or who are considering, like, is this the right workshop for me? How do we want folks to show up for this? And like, in what capacity, ready to learn, ready to ask questions? I think it's important that you come in ready for something of this nature.
Yeah, it is a fair point. It is a building block.
Yeah.
So you want to be comfortable with the P&L. So if you've been looking at the financial spreadsheet with your coach for quite a while, you're getting it. Maybe that's 2 years, maybe that's a year, maybe it's 6 months. You came in knowing some things, but if you're familiar with the financial spreadsheet, you've been looking at the P&L actuals, you've been looking at the monthly tabs, and you're comfortable with that, and you're ready. If you're ready for more, this would be the more.
Okay.
To the P&L, think of the P&L as the right here, right now, the dashboard. Yes. Here's how fast we're going. Here's how much revenue we're doing. So we have tools like the production forecaster that's projecting out how much work we've got. And we have the sales meeting report that helps people analyze where their sales are coming from and your P&L. And it's all very much right now. The balance sheet is like looking farther down the road to project. Now, it is the rearview mirror, too. You're looking in the rearview mirror, making sure there's no cops coming up to catch you, that warranty that's about to catch up with you.
Yeah.
So there's that stuff. But the change or the motive here is to have the tools to look out through the windshield at the horizon, and is the sun setting or is that a storm coming? Are there not just like, you know, you're think of the driving a car. So are there potholes in front of me? I need to move. Am I coming up on a pack of Mack trucks and I got to pull over? You know, what conditions am I facing? So I want to see ahead of us, but I also need to see the horizon. And so that's could be seasonality. And maintaining your seasonality. It could also just be growth. We want to get into a different type of work, or the economy. I mean, that's a big question right now, is what's on the horizon in the economy. So do I have a plan? Can I watch it? And so very much this is now about going from the P&L right here, right now. Here's how we're performing, to trying to push to where are we going? Looking farther out.
We'd love for there to be the vision just to come to us, right? I mean, we don't want to guess what's coming. We want to be able to have be ready for when that comes.
Oh yeah, like I said earlier, if you're thinking of the plan, you're not thinking of being in the moment. Yeah. It's like basketball. When I coach basketball, we have a plan, and if you're thinking about what to do, you're not playing the game. You got to play the game. If we're gonna win, you got to be in the moment playing the game. So we spend weeks practicing and getting ready so that I can just react. React is the wrong word. I can be in the moment
and pivot quickly.
And pivot. Yeah. Pivot's a better word.
If I'm
thinking about the plan, I'm not thinking about what's happening in the moment.
Yeah, you're out of your head. You're just doing it. You know it so well, you're just doing it. Yeah. Of all the topics that you hit in this session, because you've done this workshop a couple of times, and this is not something new. We've done this. We do this every year, and have a kind of a new batch of students per se. Mm-hmm. What tends to be the hardest topic to grasp that you feel like needs kind of some continuous learning behind it?
The thing you're going to want to leave and continue practicing, I think, is people understand the metrics, but how they work together, how to combine them to then influence them in the future. So it's the hard part is one, recognizing that people do have influence over these metrics. I can change these things. And then how is this going to impact our balance sheet as I change these behaviors, and how should they? So the fun is in looking at what we're teaching. We made this plan. We made this balance sheet budget. Here's what we think our cash should be. And then watching it and seeing it come to fruition, so believing it, and then really learning how these day-to-day changes affect the results on the balance sheet just takes time. It takes time and experience to use them. So it's like dribbling. You know, I can learn how to dribble in practice, but until I face a defender in a game, am I really testing myself?
Fair. Again, you have got so many analogies today.
I appreciate that.
Well, I think you've probably learned that you have to do that for the folks like myself whose
brains, and me.
Well, whose brains don't think that way, and so like just to take the the terms and bring them down to layman's level?
I think if you can make an analogy, then you really understand it. An analogy that makes sense. So I challenge myself to do that. To like if I can't make an analogy, then I don't understand it.
Good point.
So if I'm going to teach it, I got to understand it.
I love it.
So the real love, I believe the word is pedagogy, the art of teaching, teaching teachers. What is your pedagogy? How do you teach? So using analogies when you teach is my pedagogy.
I've never heard of that word before.
It's a fun word.
It is, pedagogy. All right, so as we talked about, this workshop involves, I mean, it's not only education, but there's follow-up work, there's a project, so you're going to come prepare with your workbook, with your numbers,
a pencil and your financial spreadsheet.
Okay.
Just bring those two things. And it's very interactive. We limit the number of people. There's lots of questions. I worry about like that. You know, come ready to ask questions. Yeah. Everybody's at a different place. It's super fun. I love talking about these topics and that moment when you see someone like, oh, I get it. Like, that is the funnest thing in the world.
If anyone can make financials fun, it's Andrew here.
More funner. As I like to say.
Well, thank you. I think you gave a good kind of overview of what's to come while also teaching us. I learned some things.
Hey, what'd you learn?
Pedagogy.
Fun word.
Yeah.
Fun word.
I also learned about the analogy of how you look at the P&L sheet, the overhead being the grease. Is the grease working? What are you putting into the car? That's the cost of goods.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
So your machine, right? Your machine is the cost of goods sold. And how efficient is your machine? Mm-hmm. How efficient is it running? I put in a dollar. It spits out 30 cents. Is that efficient? So labor efficiency ratio. We look at labor efficiency. We look at gross profit. But different companies have different gross profits. And even builders, one's a remodeler, one's building houses, they're going to have different gross profits, but they're going to have a very similar labor efficiency
ratio.
That's
what's most wild to me.
Yeah.
The numbers can look very different, but the ratio is the same.
So once my machine is operating efficiently, now I can look at the grease and say, all right, how much grease am I putting in here? Am I putting in the right grease? I got some WD-40 going in there. I can't be putting no, you know, whatever the bad one is. All I know is WD-40 or 10W30, whatever.
I mean, they've got a good hold on the branding because I don't know anything else either. The door is squeaking. That's we need the WD-40.
We're switching to Pennzoil.
Yeah. All right, we'll call it there. Andrew, thank you so much. Appreciate it. For those folks who are interested, you can sign up or learn more about it via the Summit Weekly. Also talk to your coach. Also feel free to reach out to the programs team, that being myself and Maureen Richard at Maureen@NolanCG.com. If this is feeling like it's far too complex for where you're at, but you are interested in learning more about financials, we do have a fundamentals course that we offer in September that is facilitated by Catherine Freeman and Deidre Ellis. So that might be best for you. But as always, if you're working with a coach here, we do everything through a financial lens. So if you're not understanding the things in the workbook, you're not understanding your P&L, your balance sheet, ask your coach about it.
And we love to meet people where they're at.
Of course.
And then help them step.
Yes.
So maybe we'll have to figure out how to make the Advanced Financial Bootcamp fun. Maybe we'll all wear Hawaiian shirts.
Oh God.
We're going to have fun. We're going to talk about balance sheets. And
if you are signed up for the Advanced Financial Course,
please don't be self-conscious.
Please don't feel the need to wear a Hawaiian shirt.
It is super fun. Oh, no, I'm all right now. I'm wearing it.
Andrew's going to wear it, but you don't have to wear one. All right. Thank you. Until next time.
All right. Thanks, Molly. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Out of the Hourglass is recorded and produced by the team at Nolan Consulting Group, a nationwide business coaching and consulting firm with coaches located throughout the country. Have a question, comment, or idea for future episodes? We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website, www.nolancg.com.